Welcome to the Digital TV Ad Buying.com podcast series, the definitive place to hear industry experts talk about digital TV ad buying. If you have digital marketing consultancy needs, give me a call at 919-626-2290. Repeat, 919-626-2290, or just visit GaryMilner.com. So, you know, first of all, thanks for coming on to the Digital TV Ad Buying.com podcast. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today was how brands are thinking about the digital TV ad buying market. It's, half the market is digital today, and TV has traditionally not been digital, but depending on who you talk to, anywhere between 2 and 10 billion of that 70 is digitally bought. And with the usage patterns of streaming changing dramatically month to month, this dynamic's going to continue to change. So TV's not going to go away. It's just how we plan, measure, and buy ads will dramatically change. So what I'd like to do is just give us a brief overview of your role, Vinny, and what you do, and then just give me some top-level view on how you see the TV market changing and becoming more digitized, just from your perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So it's great topic. It is absolutely top of mind at Hershey's, that's for sure. We've got a long ways to go, but it's something I talk about every day. So good timing. But I'm Vinny Rinaldi. I oversee addressable media at Hershey's, which is basically inclusive of our audience and data strategy, our ad tech stack, and all digital buying outside of social platforms. So as I mentioned, Hershey's is predominantly a very old school marketer. And what I mean by that is we do what works best. We are selling dollar chocolate bars. And the reality is everyone eats chocolate. In fact, 98% of our category, or we have 98% household penetration in our category, which allows us to really market to everybody. Predominantly in the space, marketing has been kind of easy. You know, TV works really well. You can reach a broad audience. Facebook works really well, tons of scale, broad audience. But as we kind of shift our mindsets into a consumer lens, there's more data than ever before on all consumers. So I think what's really important is how do we start buying media differently that's a lot more relevant to our audience in real time versus hoping to reach 40% of our audience based on a ratings point and or just, you know, spray and pray methodology. We have to move and shift from old ways into the new world. And I think the more comfortable we get with identifying data strategy and our audience alignment to who's purchasing our brands, I think that's where we're going to start tipping the scales over and being a lot more audience driven than media driven.
So you've got almost 3 million people a quarter dropping from traditional pay TV. Some of them are connecting back up through streaming and connected TV devices, not all. And at least initially, a large part of that audience were younger people, millennials, and now more and more older audiences are connecting up as well. But how's that growth affecting your media choices and media thought? How are you thinking about scaling into this?
Yeah, so it's a great question, especially centered around a business where 4 years ago, 97% of our media dollars were predominantly in linear television. As you can imagine, shifting that mentality is not the easiest job in the world, but I think our brand teams, as we sit across our portfolio, are starting to see, you know, being proven out through different data points of, you know, really just market analysis, knowing that linear television isn't dying, it's just being consumed differently. And I think that's where we've gotten a lot more headway with our brand teams and them understanding that, you know, we're still buying television. It's just being bought completely different and consumed completely different, but we're still reaching that mass scale live audience that we're going after. Our planning has still slowly adopted, and I think that's not because of our agency side. I think that still is an educational aspect that we're going through as an internal business unit, is understanding, okay, if I am buying TV, how do I still show my measurement properly so that I know those impressions now are no longer ratings points for growing our incremental reach? And that's kind of where we're stuck right now, is how do we truly measure incrementality when we buy TV in a connected environment, an OTT environment, or an addressable environment? And that's kind of where I think the industry is still evolving from a measurement perspective. But that's what we keep coming back to as a brand organization, is how do we know I'm on it, I get it, I'm myself a cord cutter, but how do I know that when we have our reach points from a TV perspective and we look at our media mix model, how do I include those impressions coming from streaming, because it's still in quote unquote television? So we're still going through some of those challenges, but our mindset's definitely shifting to that point. We've just got to make sure that next year, as we shift more of our dollars in this nature, that we are making sure we're measuring it properly.
So have you? So are you looking actively at the Nielsen type products that measure incrementality of video, digital video, and advanced TV, layered on top of your linear buy? And with that, my understanding is you can look at incrementality over your standard-based linear buy and work out whether it's giving you incremental reach. So that's fairly new, but have you started testing that, or is it just that's in your plans to look at?
We have not started testing it. We have kicked off conversations around that, and that is certainly something that we're focusing in on to ensure that we are getting that measurement towards incrementality. I think we'll probably kick some of that off in 2019 and beyond. To start gauging long-term value. But to your point, it's new to everyone. It's new to the space. So it's going to come with both good and bad. There'll be challenges, but I think we're definitely open to, you know, the shift in consumer mindset and making sure that we're staying ahead of the game and measuring that with the leaders in the space.
So when you do your upfront planning and you have the upfronts, I mean, do you see something that you would want the GRP model to change from and to? Is this something that you're looking for? If you could wave a magic wand at the industry and say, you know, we need something Y to change in future to better help plan in this whole end to end, do you know what that would be, or is that something you're still really in gestation?
I think it comes back to the audience, the understanding of the actual household that you're measuring. When you look at the space, we've lived and died by predominantly a older model, which is inclusive of a panel. And that panel, in retrospect, has been the industry leader from Nielsen. However, the scale of that is fairly small. When you think about the ability to reach 122 million households in the United States, and the panels measuring, you know, sub 50,000, it's kind of hard to really scale that out when we talk about how much data is accessible today and how much data everyone can get their hands on, and we're still stuck in a little bit of an older model. I think we need to see that evolve. Because the more you can actually measure the household, the more you'll be able to measure the incrementality, I believe. You know, the advancements of ACR technology in scanning what people are watching from, you know, either on their TV from a Netflix perspective or Hulu, et cetera, I think is only going to help us advance what that true measurement is. So if there was a way to look at everything, or at least to shift, I don't think it's get rid of GRPs, but it's take GRPs to the next level and enhance, you know, the model that we've typically measured on as a panel, and grow what that can be in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might come down to the scale of the shift and growth of the movement to streaming services, right? So, I mean, I personally believe, you look at the eMarketer numbers, and they're forecasting, I don't know exact number off the top of my head, maybe 20% of the population might be there in 2022. I still personally believe they're grossly undervalued. So the reason
I agree.
The reason being is, I mean, it's a little bit anecdotal, but the people I know who use streaming services today outside Netflix and Amazon, which people have been familiar for a while, tend to be people who are either in the industry or savvy and technical and sophisticated. And I don't think we haven't reached the point, the aha moment, where the average consumer suddenly realizes he doesn't need to go to Blockbuster anymore to get a DVD. You can get it in the post, or you can then do streaming. This is a similar inflection point where, you know, we just haven't quite reached the ease of use and mass awareness to let people switch over. So I think the numbers will be a lot bigger, and it will change. Personally, I think it will change the buying process with it. So if you look at live TV, so if you from a Hershey perspective, you've got planned purchases and you've got impulse purchases, but you know, you've got live TV opportunities inside the new streaming services and digital TV. Is that something you're looking at planning for? How do you plan for a live TV component on a streaming service where every quarter the numbers are grown inside that ecosystem?
So probably a simple answer to that is it's almost nearly impossible to plan properly against this right now. And I think when you look at predominantly how a plan is put together, there's a lot of value placed on, you know, the Comscore reach curves and understanding the mix of Nielsen and Comscore reach curves together. But nobody's figured out how to measure these channels yet. So when you look at a reach curve, it's really hard to gauge the right mix and the right amount that you should be shifting and planning towards. And I think that's why, again, going back to just truly measurement is why there's such still a gap in the space, but to your point, it's only going to grow more and more and needs to be solved rather quickly. So what we're trying to understand a little bit more is using, because you can use certain tools and we've started leveraging a little bit with the trade desk, is by looking at some of our purchase-based segments and mapping them into the trade desk platform for planning purposes, we can actually look at the amount of those people who are only watching streaming content through the available inventory that they have in their platform. And we've seen some use cases that we're going to start testing out. We have not put them into market yet, but we've been predominantly looking at 2019 Q1 plans by using this. And there's definitely value to show incremental reach. It's still not at full scale, in my opinion. But there's definitely a lot that you can start utilizing and seeing in the shifting patterns on consumer behavior.
So this must be changing your day-to-day relationship with your buying partners, whether it be the programmatic partner and the agency creative. It must be causing a lot more engagement interaction, to execute your plans than ever before, because you've got so much change going on that, you know, if you met once a quarter or once a month, you'd kind of miss a lot of things. Do you find your job's changing because of that?
Yes, 100%. It's been topic of conversation across our entire team at Hershey. Is we are kind of sitting in the middle as the media expertise group across our portfolio, and we've got to get better, quicker, faster results from both a media perspective and a sales perspective tied back to what we've launched in media. So our goal is to start shifting, you know, the first week after a month, we've got a full detailed analysis report to go to our brand teams with to say, here's what we're looking at, here's what we saw. You know, we feel we should shift here, here, and here based on what's going on. Now, obviously, upfront dollars are mostly planned and unmovable. However, we can start using the data to inform smarter media buying in a digital ecosystem, so that if we know streaming TV is growing and we're seeing really good results, we can shift more of our dollars in the digital ecosystem there and then look at other aspects.
Okay. So if you look at the whole, I think we talked about how the whole ecosystem's changing, there's a lot of dynamic things going on. I mean, how does the industry help you as brands prepare for this better? Should there be more education out there? what sort of things, what sort of things you're looking for? Is it the ANA needs to do more? It needs to come from your agency that you have more education. What sort of things do you think you need help on around educating your teams right now?
I think it's a mix of everything in the industry. I think, you know, our as a media team, we're constantly looking to learn and grow and get better. And, you know, there's available resources, but I think it's expanding out into, when you look at a brand like ours, we're not just one brand, we're a portfolio of many. And there's a lot of people that are still looking at marketing as a blip on their radar compared to running an overall P&L that is their business. And, you know, the focus should be educating them as much as educating us as the central media team. I think the ANA does a good job. I think eMarketer does a good job, but they're such, you know, they're broad stats. I think there needs to be a better, or at least there needs to get to a better place where we enhance our mentality as brands through digital learning capabilities. I think it's also time commitment. You know, how much of a role does this play across the board in our business, not only on the media teams, but also the brand specific teams, and how important this is to them in just educating and learning where the space is going. There is a lot out there. It's kind of, and at times I think there's too much because you don't know where to go for the right source.
Yeah.
So I think a consolidated effort of just education would be really helpful for the space.
Yeah. I think one of the areas that brands, you know, if I look at the leading, I was at Adweek, and what some of the leading brands I saw were the DTC brands. You know, I listened to Blue Apron and a few others, and a lot of them are doing some pretty cool stuff with connected television and tying that into their full funnel digital. And of course, they sell majority of their stuff online, so they can connect all this up. But some of those, you know, like the Warby Park, have got stores. So I think, you know, I think what you might say is some of the leading solutions and answers and case studies may come from those type of companies, which will help the whole industry as it migrates from an end-to-end online to online to offline. So I think that's one area to watch is, you know, watch these companies because they don't necessarily have the historic legacy to worry about, and they're doing some interesting things. So
you're spot on. The direct-to-consumer space is taking off, and they're connecting more of the offline-online attributes together, which is really powerful. I think as a brand like ours, the challenge that we have is we don't own the retail channel. You know, we're doing a lot of work to start thinking through how do we change that in the future, but, you know, the net of it is we're at the, you know, we're at the beckoning of our retail partners, whether it be a Target, a Walmart, you know, an Ahold, and grocery chains and Kroger. But the reality is, until we get that closer connectivity, the offline element is still a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless people like Amazon and Walmart end up having their own advertising, TV advertising services, and then they're probably very interested in working very close with you to measure the whole onion end to end. So
they definitely are.
So just to finish this off, Vinny, and thank you for your time. So what do you think your nirvana for TV buying is, and what time scale do you think digital? I was talking to Adobe and they said it was 5 years before we were anywhere near 80% digital, 90% digital. But what's your nirvana, and how fast do you think it's going to get there?
I'd probably agree it's going to take a lot longer than everyone is hoping. The adoption is great. It's scalable. However, when you look at just the reality of broadcast television, they're not going anywhere, and the set-top box is staying put for now. The only way to truly get to the future is having more of a digital environment in those set-top boxes so that all media becomes biddable, so that I can make the right decisions based on my frequency and reach analysis, and I'm just plugging and playing with creative rotation. That's the nirvana of, as a portfolio of brands, my ideal goal would be one media budget, and I insert the most relevant ad in television, in digital, in social, that makes the most sense for that consumer in a given time, But that's impossible until everything becomes more of a biddable environment and the ability to measure across every channel plus walled gardens.
Yeah.
So when you talk about Nirvana, that's what it is. I don't know if we'll ever get there. I think the television world will get closer, mainly because as you look at some of the MVPDs, they will enhance their capabilities. But I still think we, you know, with affiliates tied to those, there's just a lot of in-betweens there. So, you know, it's going to take time. It's going to take a legacy of kind of the old leaving the industry with the new growing and bringing this through to fruition. And the more I think, you know, the early adopters of this start growing into more leadership roles, the more I think the industry is going to start shifting over the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will come down to how quickly the pay TV services move to streaming and away from set-top boxes. And, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure costs associated with, you know, satellite, particularly satellite, which is in a benefit and interest of moving over to streaming. So it'll be interesting to watch this play out. So that's one of the reasons why I think it might,
definitely,
it might be a little faster than we think. And, you know, there's you could have Amazon and Netflix create a pay TV version of their service as well. So things could be very interesting in this space. So anyway, Vinny,
oh, for sure.
Thanks for your time today. It's been very enlightening. And I hope to have you on as a future guest when the industry's evolved a little bit further and you've got something else you would like to talk about. And thanks again.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks again, Gary. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks, Vinny.
All right, bye.
Bye.